Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us. We thank you that it is a light for our path. It is food for our soul. May it be so for us this evening. Amen. I was doing some reminiscing the other day, reflecting as you do from time to time, and I came across this photograph. You won't know where it is. The church is St. Clement's in Kingston, and I know some of them listen to the recording, so hello, in Tasmania. And it's Jill and I's home church. And what's happening here is that day is July the 11th, 2015. It happened to have been Jill's birthday, but it's also the day before we got on the plane and flew here. And we had a service where Jill and I reaffirmed our marriage vows, and then we were sent out. So in the midst of that is the Briggs family, and around them are friends and family who had blessed us by coming along to this service. In that crowd, there is the entire family of God. There are prophets who had spoken into our lives, pastors who had soothed our tears, apostles who had covered us, called us out, guided us, instructed us, informed us. There were evangelists in there who had enthused us. There were teachers in there who had pushed us to precision and thoughtfulness. And here they are doing something. Now, on the face of what they're doing is loving us and saying goodbye to us. But there's actually something deeper going on. And there's something in this photograph that is a visual clue as to what is happening. What is that? You can see it, can't you? They're all touching one another. And in some ways, that's a bit weird. I don't know anywhere else in society where a group of people would stand around and touch each other. Maybe rugby. It's a strange thing to reach out and touch something, but as Christians, it is something that we do. And in fact, we're doing this series on the basics of the faith, and the laying on of hands is listed there as one of the elementary teachings. So just to quickly remind ourselves, the elementary teachings that we are looking at, the foundation that the writer of the Hebrews is encouraging to have laid, and then we can move on to build stuff on them, but he wants to lay the foundations, is repentance from acts that lead to faith, death, faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites or baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. But tonight, I didn't just predict the end of the world. But tonight, we're looking at the laying on of hands. So what's all this about? Now, last week we looked at teaching on baptisms, and there was this one of the questions that we had was a really excellent question, and the question was, if I haven't been baptized, does that mean I can't be saved? And I want us to think about that question again, because the answer I gave was correct. No, that you can. Baptism points to a reality, and salvation is the reality. It's the defining thing is what is actually happening inside, rather than the signpost that goes to it. But there is also a point at which baptism, the manual action, this physical act of using water, does actually matter. It has some importance. And one of the things when we look at the laying on of hands, it's a similar thing. There's a physical act that takes place. And I want to just first begin by understanding that physical acts matter. When we forget that physical acts matter, it's like we say something like this. It's like, I believe in transportation, but we don't actually need a road. Now, there's truth to that. If you want to get to another village, you can walk across the fields. But roads actually matter. And when you can use the language to travel to another place or to take a road almost means the same thing. And the symbol and the reality are intertwined like this. In the same way, when we do things physically, that action proclaims and it intertwines with the reality, not so they're confused, but very tightly. So that there's an empowerment of that action. Actions matter. And it's something that we forget in the Western world, I think, because we've become very cerebral and abstract. Because there's so much in our society that tends to separate us. Our suburban lifestyle puts us in flats or houses with walls, and we don't know our neighbours anymore because we tend to have been separated by circumstances. We no longer live by and large in an extended family. And time pressures of work means that we're almost separated in as nuclear families, so that we get, you know, hardly get to see each other during the times of the day. And there are various other things that separate us and cause us a sense of abandonment, of loneliness. If anyone's watched the series Crown on Netflix recently, and there was one episode which looked at the boarding schools and the sense of someone being left behind and abandoned. And the protection mechanisms you learn in that circumstances is to put up boundaries and to sort of hold people aloof. And we've learned to be cerebral and abstract to make up for it. So we would say things like, well, we don't need to hug each other in our family. Because it's the love that matters, isn't it? It's all that matters is that I love them. But the physical expression doesn't matter. But physical and ideal go together. Or we'll just show a face. Or it's the thought that counts. Well, yes, it does. But actions, presence, nearness matters. Life is meant to be lived, not simply spoken about or agreed upon. We can't live by theory. We have to embody ourselves. Our bodily actions matter. Some of you know that Jill's sister visited us this week for 48 hours. We drove to Heathrow early one morning. She came and spent 48 hours with us, and we drove her to Heathrow early another morning. And it was great. We got to sit with her and talk with her and eat with her. But tell you what, you know, 90% of that conversations we have with her, we could have had on Skype. We could have. And that would have been great. But you know what? She was there. Embodied. Huggable. Embraceable. Smellable. Right? She is my little sister-in-law, after all, I can say that. And that mattered, that she was physically present. And what that tells us is truly we are made in the image of God. Because if there's one thing unique about what we believe as Christians, is that God, Almighty God, the one that we've sung about this evening, in all his abstract attributes, his omnipotence, his omniscience, and his omnipresence, and all those sorts of things, this God doesn't just speak to us, doesn't just give us theory, doesn't give us words to read. He comes and makes himself present with us. He is embodied. He made himself huggable, embraceable, smellable. And the body, in a body, he died for us. God doesn't deal with us in the abstract. He doesn't save us by shifting our entry in a database column. He touches us and he makes it solid, real fact. One of the most precious images from the Bible, I find, is in one of the accounts of the Last Supper in John, where John, referring to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved, describes how he leaned back onto Jesus' chest. And you can imagine that. Hearing the breath going in and out of the lungs of the author of life. Hearing the stomach gurgles of the one who made everything. There's intimacy there. And that intimacy, that physical presence, matters. And that brings us back to our topic, the laying on of hands. And I want to dig deeper a little bit into what this action means, but we have to begin with this affirmation that physical action matters. Faith is not just about thinking the right thoughts or offering up the right prayers. It's about doing things on the outside, in the physical world. Our physical actions proclaim they matter. So that's where we need to begin. But what's actually happening? Where is it taking us? What is this proclaiming when we have this weird thing where people of God touch each other like this? Here's a few things. And it's a way of, what we're going to do is go into the Bible and see where we see it and what's happening. One of the things we see in the Bible is that the laying on of hands comes as an act of blessing. You'll know the famous story about people wanting to bring their children to Jesus, and the disciples thought this was beneath him, so they tried to turn them away, and Jesus rebukes his disciples from preventing the children come to him. And we are told that he took these children into his arms, he laid his hands on them and blessed them. How could he not? He embodies the Father heart of God. He embraced them. One of the things I was taught when I was going through theological college, and lots of people with young families, and they said, if you're standing at the front of church and your child starts running up the aisle towards you, you are no longer the man at the front of the church. You are dad. Because the physical, saying this, no, don't come to the front, you'll disturb everybody, proclaims. But embrace proclaims the Father heart of God. Visiting a church just recently, actually, where there was this kid running up the aisle. It was fantastic. He went and said hello to the lay minister, tugged on his robes. Brilliant. There's a blessing in it. So in the Old Testament, we see as well, the Father's blessing of his sons went from generation to generation, came with the laying on of hands. In Genesis 48, we see Jacob laying his hands on Joseph's children. And he lays his hands on them and he invokes over them a blessing. How they'll be great. There'll be a multitude of nations, that they will be blessed. And we still use our hands to bless people today. When you come forward at communion and you don't want to receive the elements, although we'll pray this way for you even if you do, we'll lay our hands on your shoulder or sometimes even on your head and we'll pray a blessing on you. And at our formal services where there's like this blessing at the end, I can tell you, at the front, when you get to those words, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, you can't help but do this. Right? Or wave your hands around. It would be strange to go, and now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see what I say? The actions proclaim. And so this comes with a blessing. Similarly, we often lay hands on people when we are praying for them. You'll see this at Soul Survivor. You'll see this sometimes at the front here. People have gone forward for prayer. They're surrounded by people with their hands on them. And sometimes that can be an act of comfort, but it's also a part of the prayer. And you see in the Bible often where touching, where the laying on of hands comes and healing flows and miracles happen as Jesus lays his hands on people. So laying of the hands, the action, embodies blessing. That's one thing we see in the Bible. Secondly, we see this. The actions of laying on of hands can be an act of commissioning. That's what we saw in our reading tonight, which Nikki read for us. We saw in Acts chapter 6, how a pastoral crisis led to the need of appointing deacons in the church. And they appointed 7 deacons who were commissioned by the apostles when they stood in front of them and laid their hands on them. And in Acts 13, the church in Antioch heard the Spirit instruct them to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work of mission. And we read that after they had fasted and prayed, they set hands on them and sent them out. They were commissioned for ministry. And I've put up here a picture of a confirmation service that I had a great joy in participating in almost 10 years ago. And my Christian brother there has literally just been baptized in the river. And now the bishop is praying for him. He looks like a bishop, doesn't he? And what's happening there in that confirmation, act of confirmation from the bishop is commissioning him into the baptized life, a life of service, a life committed to Jesus. And you see the laying on of hands also, it's like ordination services, we make people into deacons and priests. But it all follows from this, the basis of ministry is in the life of all God's people. In confirmation, we are all commissioned, that's the meaning of that act. Commissioned by the power of the Spirit. And so the laying on of hands also commissions. And thirdly, and this is slightly a weird one, the laying on of hands is an act of identification. And here's the strange one to end with, but we need to go here. This is very evident in the Old Testament, where if you brought a sacrifice to the temple, as you brought that animal that was going to be sacrificed, you would lay hands on the head of the animal who was going to be sacrificed. And this was an act by which you made a connection or identified, willingly drawing between that person a connection between the person who's bringing it and the costly death of the animal itself. There's a sense of identification. Now, I've deliberately ended on this strange one of the three types of thing that we're looking at, because it actually helps us to get into the depths of what's going on here. You see, the action of laying on of hands, which across all these different types of things that we see, has a common meaning. And that common meaning is this: whatever I have is also yours. The action is a sense of impartation or connection. And here in the Old Testament, that's true in a negative image. It's as if the person is saying, what I have is sin, and now, poor animal, I share that with you, and you get to die for me. Right? Now, we can laugh about it, but you can imagine how much you would witness the cost of sin if that was what you had to go through. Praise the Lord, in Hebrews we're told that Jesus died once for all. We no longer need to do this. But can you see the witness of that act? And it's the same, whatever I have is now yours. And it's the same in the case of blessing. When we bless someone, it's as if to say, whatever favour I have in God's sight, I share it, I give it, I impart it to you. As I have been filled by the grace of God, may you be filled with the grace of God. And of course, by the grace of God, what we have is Christ. In Ephesians, Paul talks about how we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's what we've been given. And the act of blessing is to share that amazing gift with others. And we do it for each other. We bless one another. What I have, you also have. And we bless the world. What we have in Christ, may you also know it and share in it. And it's the same with commissioning. It's a bit more particular. But as the apostles lay their hands on the deacons, they impart an authority. They have authority and they share it with these deacons, anointing and empowering them. Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of my hands. The gift in Timothy came through the laying on of hands as Paul shared his gift with him. And negatively, in 1 Timothy 5, Paul warns Timothy, don't lay hands on people too hastily. Don't share with them an authority and an empowerment that they're not ready yet to exercise, or they're not mature enough to respond to in a godly way. But across all these things, you see, the laying on of hands imparts something. It bestows something. It gives something. It shares the grace of God. Whatever I have, I share with you. And this brings us back to where we started. You see, this remains one of the most profound moments in my life. It's not complicated, but it's a very simple action. These people were sending us out with a gift. The gift of their blessing, their support, and an identification with us, so that in a sense we were going as one of them, as part of the global body of Christ. They were embracing us as they were letting us go. Does that make sense? And they were recognising that whatever lay ahead of us, we were going to be utterly reliant on the grace of God. And so they were imparting that grace, sharing that love, invoking the presence of God for our journey and for our destination. And by doing that, they were empowering us with the gift of the Spirit. And I know that many of the people in this photograph have not just been praying for Jill and I and the children, but also praying for the church here to which they were sending us. In the laying on of hands, they are embodying God's presence for us as a family at that time, embracing us, covering us. They are showing physically, manifesting in their reaching out of the hands, the bonds of the Spirit that draw us together and lift us up. It was literally like Jesus was touching us himself as he embraced us with his body. And so the laying on of hands, this foundation of the faith, shows us that the grace of God is not something to hold to ourselves in private lives, but to share, to give. It's something with which to cover and live and protect and empower. And it's to be done not academically, not esoterically or abstractly or theoretically, but in practice, with the very sharing of ourselves with each other, in the same way that God shared himself with us, physically, really, and openly. Because in Christ, God has touched us. He has laid his hands on us. He has imparted of himself to us. All that he has given to us. And so we are called to do likewise.